Accessing library computer data.
The world doesn't always adhere to logic. And sometimes when you're lost, you're found.
Hey everybody, after a long winter break, we're back with episode 10 of season 1 of Star Trek Discovery. It's called Despite Yourself. This one was written by Sean Cochran, directed by Jonathan Two Takes Frakes, aired on January 7th, 2018. In this episode, while in unfamiliar territory, the USS Discovery crew is forced to get creative in their next efforts to survive opposing and unprecedented forces against them and return home. I'm finding I don't really like the memory alpha descriptions of the Discovery episodes as I read them. I feel they're much better in the other series. But anyway, we're joined by Clay. Clay, how are you? Welcome back to Discovery, which you were surprised to learn when I texted you on Sunday afternoon that it was back.
Everybody off the tracks. The Frakes train is coming through.
He's come to save the franchise.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I completely lost track of when this thing was coming back. And I'm glad you reminded me. Otherwise, I would have just been completely... I wouldn't have watched it. I would have just made it up.
We're fresh off of you've had a vacation. I've had a little bit of time off. I've had a less busy work schedule, I guess. So we're refreshed and ready to go with Star Trek.
Touched back into DS9 a little bit.
Yep, that's right. So we dipped our toes in the waters of DS9. So we got a firm ground on which we're standing to discuss Star Trek Discovery, because when we did the survey recently about feedback, we got a little bit of criticism about our Discovery coverage, which I don't disagree with on some level. So I feel that people thought we should compare it less to the other series of Star Trek, which is fair, but I think that us talking about this episode is going to expose the flaw in that criticism, I think. So we're going to play...
Not enough convoluted games of chance in the series, I've always said.
We're going to play an audio clip. Me and Clay are going to come back, and we're going to break down Despite Yourself.
Yellow alert.
Yellow alert.
This is the Starbase 46. Where the hell are we?
Our sensors are recalibrating, sir.
What happened here? I don't remember reports of battles anywhere near Orgamia.
Blast scoring and damage patterns are consistent with Federation weapons, but the hull signatures are a little off.
Off?
Wreckage is Klingon, but hull density analysis is registering outside acceptable margins.
Is anything here a threat?
No life signs or active power signatures.
All favors.
Captain, our navigational array is malfunctioning. According to these readings, we jumped to our intended coordinates, and our position relative to the galactic center is confirmed. But almost nothing else is where it's supposed to be.
All right, Clay, so we can be honest here. What was your honest thoughts about returning to Discovery? Pre-watching the episode, like your mindset going into it.
I honestly wasn't super looking forward to it. Yeah, when you reminded me that we were up and running again, I guess the break was felt short.
It was like a school summer year break or something.
I was just thinking that. Yes.
When it started, we were like, wow, we've got so much time off between episodes. And then when it ended, I was like, where did all the time go?
I had so many things that I planned to do. I was going to paint more.
I was going to ask out Sally Jenkins, and that just never happened. Yeah,
yeah, didn't have that mid-season break fling that I was hoping to have. Although I did start watching a new show called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, which is really good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, we'll podcast about that one. I was kind of the same thing. Like when the tweets started coming in, it's like, oh right, it's firing back up. And I wasn't super enthusiastic about it because of our thoughts that we've talked about in the episodes before this one, and I started interacting with people on Twitter, like Discovery fans on Twitter, and I kind of regret that. So that became like a New Year's resolution to not like use Twitter that way. And I feel that, you know, going into the second half here, it's not like the show has had a lot of time to really correct itself, because it's all post-production work that they do after this. So it's not like the writers take a month off and regroup and get to talk about what went wrong in the first half of the season.
Right.
So I was interested to see what they would do here. And Despite Yourself has, much like the new Star Wars movie, been quite a sort of opposite reaction, I guess, in the fandom. I'm going to say now that we took a day off We used to, on the first half of the season, we were recording on Sunday nights, and we decided that that was just not a very good idea.
Takes were too hot.
Yeah, they were too hot. They were scorching. People were dropping them left and right. But I really think that taking a day off is good for me, because it gave me a chance to actually think about this episode. I don't know if you watched it today or yesterday, but I watched it last night when it aired. Mm-hmm. And we're recording this on Monday. And I do feel I have a better sense of what I want to talk about it. So I'm ready to start if you are, unless you had any sort of feedback about the day off between recordings or things like that.
No, I think it was fine. I'm kind of two minds about it, because on the one hand, I do like, usually when we do these things, I watch the show fairly soon, fairly close to when we record, just so everything's fresh in my mind. But I do think that doing it Sunday night, generally fairly late, you know, at the beginning of a week where you got to get your shit together for other stuff, can be a little bit taxing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. I probably won't remember as many details or names. not that that's my strong point anyway.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think it, you know, gave me a little bit of time to think about it a little bit more. I actually, after watching it, excuse me. I watched Red Letter Media did a mid-season, you know, review of it, and one of the guys on it really ruined the show for me, because this was before the new episode had come out, so they were kind of speculating a little bit, and he had a speculation that incorrect speculation, but really has ruined it, because I really wish it was the direction they went in.
Sure.
And that was the mirror universe turns out to be the actual Star Trek universe we all know. So basically, everything up to this point had taken place in the mirror universe.
Yes.
And then they jump into the normal Star Trek universe.
I think we had actually talked about that.
Had we talked about that?
I think we brought that up as a possibility, where they would eventually jump into a universe that was the Prime universe.
Yeah, and like, I think you're saying that, yes. Yeah,
it does. Yeah, so... So not that it was a perfect inversion of what we were expecting, but we thought that the multiple universe thing could potentially be the way that they end up in a universe that we're more familiar with.
Yeah, which, honestly, that's... I feel like that kind of speculation says a lot about the way you react to this show. Because if one of your hopes for the direction of the season is that they are no longer in the universe of the show they are presenting you, and they go into something that you are more familiar with, or that is more accurate to your understanding of the concept that they're trying to get by, I feel like, I don't know, it feels like they might be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But who knows? I don't know.
So we'll get into Despite Yourself here, which... you know, when I was watching it, I enjoyed this episode on like a caveman lizard brain sort of level. Like when I was watching it, I was like, whatever. Like, this is moving. Stuff's happening. And reflecting back on it,
Is it though? Yeah, I was sorry. I'll continue and then I'll jump in.
Yeah,
sorry.
Like reflecting back on it, I thought that it was basically more of the same of season one, except it had more of a drive to the episode than a lot of those episodes did. And I thought that it still, while it improves on a few things, namely sort of giving like a purpose to the entire series that was lacking there before, it still is hindered by a lot of the problems that have been like there since the very start of the season. And in a lot of ways that, you know, it's showing the sort of problem of the speculation about this show. And I think that to me, like the death of Dr. Culber, right, is pretty much a moment in the series that defines everything about the series to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'll say this before I sort of clarify. It's like, it's this modern trope of television writing where you're just going to kill somebody for no particular reason, like a cast member, just to be shocking or something about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're whittling down the already sort of skeleton crew and cast here. And it was this weird... Like, not to get too political about it, but like there was all this arguing about what the Star Trek writers were doing. The Star Trek writers came out and were so backpatting about how progressive they were in the thing. Like, it's like, we're going to be the show with the gay characters are a couple and we don't give a fuck. Like, this is what Star Trek is about. I'm totally fine with all that. I'm fine with, like, you know, having characters that make sense in a story. I'm pretty anti-artificially diversifying things just to, because that's anti-art to me in a lot of ways. Not that I have anything against them being in it. I'm happy that they have a gay couple in Star Trek. But the way that the writers are coming out about this was so self-aggrandizing and so, like, congratulatory of themselves that they were doing this. And then these two characters have, what, two scenes with each other throughout the entire thing? And then the guy dies. Now, I'll say this as a caveat. This is the reason I'm glad we're not recording right after the episode, because I would have gone off on this for more. But now I read this morning a Twitter thing. The actor gives an interview and he's like, no, I'm coming back. So the problem is that the Mirror Universe is making everything about this series pointless, because you can just bring the characters back. Like, death doesn't mean anything in this universe. It's not Game of Thrones.
Right. Yeah. I felt the same way. I felt less. I actually didn't think of the political implications of killing off one of the much hyped gay characters as much as I did find it disappointing that they killed off one of the two interesting characters on the show. Because I felt like he and Stamets are the most interesting characters with the most interesting interactions. They're the only two who seem like real characters to me.
Yeah.
And killing one of them off just for the sake of your fucking convoluted ass, he's really a Klingon thing. It really bothered me. But I mean, and sure, yeah, they can bring him back, sure. But yeah, it's going to feel like exactly what you're saying, like where there's no, you know, what's the point of anything if you just have these reset buttons you can hit at any point, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I would, and going back to what you said earlier about, you know, liking it on a certain level because things were happening, I would argue that things aren't happening for half of this episode, because I looked at the time stamp and I was halfway through it and there was no plot in this episode until about 20 minutes into it.
Yep.
Everything up to that point, and this really bothered me because you look at Mirror Universe in the original series, you look at something like Yesterday's Enterprise, they have 60 minutes to get the ball down the field, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
This episode spends half of the episode explaining to you what the Mirror Universe is, explaining to you what characters are probably like, explaining to you what people were wearing, and explaining to you all of these other pieces of details of shit that I don't, it's not interesting to me. Like, there's no action. You don't even see anybody from the Mirror Universe for 25 minutes. Like, it just felt like, why are people just talking to me about the Mirror, this new universe? Why waste this time just talking to me about it? Why aren't you doing something in it?
You know what the problem is here?
The problem is that they had a 5-minute sequence where everyone gets a makeover. What the fuck was that?
The problem actually runs a little bit deeper, I think, here, because they are this episode, to me, I tweeted about this. This episode reminded me of the Prisoner remake on AMC, where the series knows that the people watching this are going to have a knowledge base that they should not have of the universe going in. Right, like the audience is aware of what the Mirror Universe is, so the show does this weird thing, which is what the Prisoner remake did, where it's like, you're all familiar with this, therefore we're not really going to explain any of this because you already understand it and it would be a waste of your time. So anyone new to the series is going to watch this and go, what the fuck is happening? Like, the way that they bring up the USS Defiant in this episode as a throwaway makes zero sense if you're unfamiliar with what the Defiant is. Like, there's very little sense and very little explanation of what they're doing. And it ties into your point of, they basically go, they go around this thing where Burnham apparently just reads, like, the Wikipedia of the Mirror
what
Universe.
What the fuck was that?
And explains what's going on to everybody. And
she she finds, like, an iPhone from a broken ship that has the entire history of the Mirror Universe on it.
Right. And so she's explaining it, and it's not the, you know, the sort of fun part about Mirror, Mirror, the TOS episode was that it took them half the episode to realize what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
You know, and they realized that they can't do that again because the audience is one step ahead of them. So I guess I need to explain the mirror universe, where the mirror universe stands to you, because I don't know, as not a really like super into Star Trek, if you understand what's happened here.
I would just like to say, just the one thing I would like to say is the thing that this felt sure. like to me, this felt like to me, if you took yesterday's Enterprise, right, and the first half of yesterday's Enterprise, so after they switch timelines, the first half is them just sitting and wondering what's on the other ship. You know, yes. When they get the new ship comes through and every, you know, it breaks the timeline. If they had just sat on the Enterprise and been like, let's do some research about what's on this other ship, and for 25 minutes. It was blowing my mind that they spent so much time doing nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, so the USS Defiant, right, is the ship that they bring up in this episode that they're like, oh, a ship has actually come into the mirror universe before. I don't know if you remember this, but they talk about a Constitution class ship that has appeared in the mirror universe before.
You know why I remember it? Because they showed me some imagery I was familiar with when they showed me that graphic of was it Constitution class? Is that what the Enterprise was?
Yeah, or Constellation or Constitution.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yep. The USS Defiant first appeared in the Tholian Web episode of TOS, right? And that's not ostensibly a mirror episode, but the ship, they find the Defiant and it's phasing into another parallel universe in that episode. Mm-hmm. So they've already exposed the mirror universe and they have the Tholian Web thing. In the Enterprise series, at the very end of Enterprise, they had a two-episode story where it took place in the mirror universe. So mm-hmm. It was unique to the show because no character from the Prime universe crossed over into that. It was a story that was totally of the mirror universe.
Mm.
And what happens there in that episode is that they find the Defiant, which had in the TOS had somehow gone back in time or something, and it ended up in the mirror universe. And the mirror universe emperor used this advanced starship to sort of conquer the universe with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the Defiant is. Apparently, in the Discovery timeline, if I'm getting this right, that ship showed up before, because Enterprise takes place before Discovery. So that ship has taken place and appeared, and that's how they have the information in Discovery that the Defiant has been there before. Now, all of this information is very complicated, and they do not explain anything about what's going on, because they're trying to fit all of this story in, and it's so cumbersome to try to explain this all that they just give up and they just kind of give it like, yeah, I was here. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I feel like I should have written everything you just said down.
It ultimately doesn't matter, but it's just...
No, it doesn't.
It's just kind of that... That's what I meant by it's a prisoner remake problem. It's like, fuck it. You either know it or you don't, so it's not that important, and we'll go from here.
Well, I kind of felt like they actually were over-explaining stuff. Like, they got so deep into the minutiae of how everything worked in this mirror universe that no one has actually explored yet. It just felt really strange to me that they, like, between the backstory about Lorca and Stamets secretly working on getting to an alternate universe and whatever the web was that they patched the holes in, that jumping through the spore drive patched up all the rest of the equation or some shit.
Yeah.
Plus everything that they learn from the SIM card that they find off of the Vulcan cruiser, whatever.
Yeah.
They just gave you so much information, and it was just told to you so straight that I couldn't. I found most of, like, the Defiant thing actually was the one thing I kind of grasped onto. Because it was the first semblance of plot. Because they were like, there's another ship from our timeline here. They gave a quick little explanation of why that we need to get the information of this ship. We need to get to this ship. It's like, okay, fine. Finally, something that I can grab onto as in terms of what the hell they're doing here.
Right.
As opposed to, we have to make sure that everybody wears the right clothes and we spray paint the ship so nobody can tell. What, right. Like, what? That stuff just, like, I don't know. It just felt like such a waste of time. And I understand, sure, yeah, you got to make sure the ship blends in, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like it doesn't – excuse me. It doesn't even matter that much at the end of the episode because once they get over to the Shenzhou, they just fly off in a different direction. Yes. So it's not like, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't hate this episode, but it's just stuff like this where it's – it just – it was – I was looking forward to the Mirror Universe thing, but I was not looking forward to people standing around and talking about it for 25 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And also I'm sure we'll get into this in a minute, but the secret Klingon thing is just, I don't know.
All right, so we can get into the Klingon stuff here. So Clay, it was obviously a huge well kept secret. That what's going to seem to be happening. Although I guess they haven't actually confirmed that Tyler is Vok at this point. It just seems that they're doing everything they can to imply without actually stating that's the case.
Right. Yeah, they kind of, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like the way it's being presented is as if we are completely ignorant and haven't figured it out yet.
Right.
Which is really annoying because it's just, It's like waiting for someone to tell the punchline of a joke that you already know the punchline to, but they're just drawing it out.
Yep. Yes. You know? And it's treating, I think Steppenwolf wrote that, it's treating both the crew and the viewer as idiots at this point. Like the crew not realizing that this guy is, you know, the Tyler thing is just kind of screwed up because I see a lot of people just praising the portrayal of PTSD. And I think it's almost like, it's almost a cartoon version of anything. Like, there's nothing. He has these sort of flashbacks to what's going on, but he's so cavalier about it. Like, the scene before he kills Culber, right? He's like, Culber's like, well, you've got all this scar tissue. And he's like, oh, that's from my torture, right? It's like mm-hmm. It's this weird cavalier, not really taking things too seriously kind of attitude towards it. And the fact that the whole crew, no one has particularly cared about this. They didn't catch this on his first medical scan, like this amount of stuff, mm-hmm. and it feels very sloppy to me with what's going on here. And you know, it's probably one of the things that maybe going forward I might sort of, I don't know if the online discussion aspect of this is hurting or helping me with this series, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean. Like I read about, I think I would have seen the Vok thing coming. I might not have caught on to it as fast as some people seem to catch on to things on the internet, but I think by now I would have been aware that this is supposed to be Vok, who we haven't seen in 7 episodes, and maybe, this will be the storyline going forward. But I feel that it's not a show that should be focusing so much on these mysteries at this point. Like, give up on trying to hold this mystery to us and just try to tell the story cohesively.
Yeah, the internet angle is interesting because, like, did you watch Westworld?
Just the pilot. I didn't get into it after that.
Well, there's a big twist in Westworld that happens. You know, they don't really 100% tell you about it until like the last couple episodes. But it's one of those things that people started putting it together fairly quickly, and I admit that if I hadn't gone online, I don't think I ever would have figured it out.
Okay.
Figuring it out isn't the right word, but I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it wouldn't even have crossed my mind. But then once people pointed it out, it was all I could see.
Right. Sure.
And, on the one hand, it's like, I like being surprised by stuff. So I kind of wish that I hadn't learned about it ahead of time. But Vok, this one,
Westworld.
Westworld.
You're talking about Westworld, okay.
Yeah, this one is, I don't know. I think I don't know if I would have picked it out if only because I think it's stupid.
Right, sure.
let me rephrase that. I don't think the concept of him being the sleeper agent is stupid. I think it's the fact that they actually physically changed him and like shortened his bones and shit.
Yep.
Why? Why don't they? Why isn't it just a brain thing?
Right.
Why? Why go through the trouble of turning him into Master Shake after he just got facial reconstruction surgery from south of the border? I don't know if anyone's gonna get that joke, but You know, it's just strange to me that it could so easily have been a mental imprint thing, and it clearly is on top of the physical thing. So I don't know. It's just like that part of it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. It feels kind of excessive.
Right. I mean, it would fit in. Like, I'm just trying to see if any of this stuff sort of fits in thematically with what's going on, right? Like, it's clearly about discovering, like, your inner self, and, like, discovery seems to be the theme, if anything. I think in the Red Letter Media they were just talking about it. It's like, it's not a show about discovery in the Star Trek sense of the word. It's a failure more that it's about, it's trying to do this prestige TV thing about discovering the characters of the show. And the characters aren't good enough, in my opinion, to carry that kind of weight with them.
Right.
Like, there's no, this is not, we're probably on our like third watch of Mad Men in the past 2 years, cause my wife loves it. But like, I'm not saying the show has to be Mad Men, but it clearly is trying to have like Mad Men type characterization of people. And they're just not nuanced enough. And the scripts aren't interesting enough to really get across what they're doing. It's not like Vox change has really meant anything to this point. It's just been a lot of him freaking out while hearing voices in his head at this point.
Yeah, and also, like, what has Tyler done to get you, like, really on board with him other than be kind of, like, a bit of a wuss?
Right.
Yeah, like, I understand he's got PTSD and stuff, but, I mean, like, what has he really done? All he does in the show is, like, since he's been on the ship, is, like, grab Burnham's hands and tell her that he's fine.
Yes, right. Yeah,
but he'll always be there for her. Like, I don't know. It's the character. Yeah, the characters aren't good enough to carry that sort of weight, and it's because they haven't figured out anything to do with any of them.
Right. Yeah.
It's surprisingly, the more I think about it, this show is surprisingly limited in the stuff that it does. Like, it's. I think that the first half of this episode really was making it stand out to me, where it was just like, I don't know if it's a budget thing, but it's just like, it's just people standing around the same two rooms in the ship, which that's just what Star Trek is people standing around the same two rooms in the ship. But for some reason, it really started to stick out to me because they're not really doing anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not back in the headspace for this show yet or what, but it's, something feels weird about this to me.
Yeah, it's. I mean, getting into the, you know, I'm questioning the choice of the mirror universe really at this point. Like, how long do you think we're going to stay in the mirror universe for?
Well, judging by the way they handle plot threads in this show, it's going to be 12 episodes of story jammed into about 5 episodes of show, and then it will be jettisoned and never brought up again.
Do you think they'll remain there for the rest of the first season?
How many episodes we got?
We have four or five left.
I'm going to say 3.
Okay, so you think they get out before the finale episode?
Yes,
because they still have to resolve some of the Klingon stuff.
Yeah, they still have to get the cloaking thing back to the whoever, so they're going to have to come back at some point.
Yeah. Okay. I would predict that they stay there until the very last episode and they get home in the last episode. I'd be shocked if they stayed there for longer. But the mirror universe to me in this show, and why choosing the mirror universe was a mistake at this point, is that the mirror universe needs you to have an established cast.
Yes.
Because you can't just do the mirror universe versions of people that you don't know in the first place. And,
you know,
well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know what the biggest flag of what you're saying is there? Is how mirror universe Burnham is just Burnham. Like, she's not acting any different. She's just, there's no contrast to...
Wait, to Mirror Universe Burnham?
Yeah. Like, when she's acting as though she's the captain of the Mirror Universe
when
ship
she's
at
acting.
The end.
Okay, right.
She's
sure.
It's just the same thing. I mean, at least Tilly is clearly contrasted because she's the most over-the-top, goofy character on the show.
Right.
So they got to swing her back the other way. But, I mean, like, if you showed me mirror universe versions of anybody else, it would be hard to tell how they were different.
Yeah.
Except that they've got goatees or something, which I am happy to see seems to be coming back next episode.
Sarek has a goatee in the next episode.
Very excited about that.
I feel it. But, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but 100%, I 100% agree with what you're saying about why it doesn't work.
And I think that the mirror universe works in TOS because the morality of TOS is so cut and dry that you just have this ridiculously evil universe where things go on. And if you are already a modern, quasi-prestige television show, maybe it's unfair that I'm calling it that's what they are, but that like they're clearly drawing their influences from that kind of modern TV telling. Your mirror universe is going to be different than that. Like your mirror universe would not just be the TOS mirror universe because that does not hold up to you. That doesn't make any sense. It's called a mirror universe for a reason. It's not just the evil universe. Basically, it's supposed to be the opposite of everything.
Right. And one thing I noticed, which is kind of fun or funny rather, is usually when they do evil alternate universes in Star Trek, you can tell it's the evil alternate universe because all the lights get shut off.
Yeah.
But in this show, there's no lights on it anyway, so it's just the same shit.
Yep, just different uniforms, basically. Yeah.
I would compare what you're saying to the reason why the best example I can give is why Batman versus Superman doesn't work. It doesn't work for the same reasons because you need to understand who these characters are before they're fighting each other. You can't just The reason that it works in the Marvel movies where Captain America and Iron Man finally have a falling out is because you know what their relationships are. They've established them, so then you invert them and you find it very satisfying. But you can't invert a relationship that doesn't exist yet.
Right.
So, which is basically what they're doing here. They're inverting a world that we don't really know anything about and inverting these characters that we still don't really know anything about.
And, yes, and they're using the inversion a little bit to kind of continue this mystery aspect. And I really wish the show would get off this mystery thing because, like, let's go through odds here. Like, what are the odds that the faceless emperor is Georgiou? That's like even money to me, right? It has to be her. I don't think there's any for the if they're trying to sort of wrap up this Burnham storyline, that feels like Georgiou would have to be the emperor.
I hadn't thought of that, but if you're playing by TV rules, then yes, that would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the other option would be it's not Lorca because we've learned that unless they're deliberately like distorting their entire information system, they told us what Lorca and Burnham are up to.
My first instinct was that it was Harry Mudd.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
And the fact that they call him Emperor, it only reminds me of like Mortal Kombat. So it's like Shao Kahn would be the Emperor of the Terran universe or something. But I mean, I feel that's kind of predictable. So are you aware of what the Lorca theory is going into this episode? And I don't know if this changed anything, but were you aware of what the Lorca thing is?
That he is actually from this mirror universe?
Yes, that's the theory. Because at the end of the the halfway point finale, when Stamets does his last jump, Lorca types in something from his chair that sort of changes what the course is supposed to be.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
And do you think this episode holds that theory up, or do you think it knocks it down a little bit?
Well, I guess it would depend on why he's doing what he's doing. Like, why does he want to get back just because so he'll have the Discovery? He'll have a powerful ship?
Maybe. Although the Discovery is no more powerful than the ships of his era because he's not he's not from the past or anything. Like,
right,
so,
yeah. It's not I mean, I guess they would have the Spore Drive. But
yes, that's true. Oh, that's a good point. They would have the Spore Drive. I mean, the thing that sort of the reason that the episode kind of knocks that theory down a little bit, and I don't even know if I can say that the show is of quality enough where I should be worried about this, is that he does a very good job of almost getting them caught a few times. Like when the ship hails them, he's like, "Oh, I'll talk to him," and he should know that he's not the captain of the Discovery.
Yes. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the character being very convincing in his plot or if it's actually his true naivete about what's going on.
And also, why would he want to leave the ship? Like, I mean, I guess that's part of. I don't know what he would be after, but like, let's say for whatever reason, his goal was to get back there in order to bring the Discovery there for some sort of like winning the war type situation or something like that. Why would he want to leave the ship in order to find the Defiant? You know, why would
right?
But I mean, you know, who knows? That might be part of his plan. I don't know, but I mean, it definitely would. It definitely makes. It pays off his poorly constructed, questionable morality plot, I guess, if you can. Because, I mean, they've been very poorly, I think, laying the pieces that he is not evil, not amoral, but he's got something else going on.
Yeah.
But I don't think that even that is strong enough to make me go, oh, it must have something to do with the mirror. Like, I don't know how they're going to pay that off, and I'm going to find it satisfying. But, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it just has to remember his – so many of the scenes just seem lost at this point. Like when he slept with the Admiral, you know, that was about you've changed. I guess that's supposed to be hinting that he's not really the Lorca. I don't know. It's just the mystery of that. It's annoying to watch this series and have to think about, is that what's going to actually happen here? I'd rather almost know about it and, like, you know, be aware that he's deceiving them on some level than have this sort of mystery hanging over everything, that I'd rather just focus on the storyline as opposed to sort of wondering about what how the story is going to come together with these little side parts and everything.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a symptom of being too used to watching the previous iterations of Star Trek, in that it almost feels to me like we're constantly waiting for them to establish what these characters are.
Yeah.
But what they're actually doing is trying to lay this mystery, but the way we're watching it is like, no, I'm just waiting to find out what these characters are about so we can move forward,
yeah,
instead of embracing the journey to figure out who they are. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's a very different Star Trek on that level. Like it's really not what the other Star Treks have done. And yeah, I don't know if it's unfair to sort of judge it that way. It's just I don't think that the plot driven aspect is not strong enough here for me to really buy into that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, because again, it takes half an hour to even figure out what the plot is, and then once they start doing it, it's still kind of like it's still pretty weak.
Yeah.
Like even at the end where he's like, "So, did you get all that shit we need?" And she's like, "No, I couldn't get to a computer."
Right.
So let's just have sex instead.
Yeah. I guess we'll talk about a few things that I did like here, just so we're not overwhelmingly negative. I think that it was actually probably the best fight scene in a Star Trek episode. The fight in the turbo lift.
Oh yeah, that was cool. Like
that's actually cool. It uses the gravity to get around things. It was well staged and well shot for being a fight in a confined space.
Frakes has really upped his ability to shoot hand-to-hand combat since the TNG days.
And I liked the agony booths in this version. They were pretty cheesy in TOS, but here they feel pretty.
Oh, is that a callback? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, those agony booths are something that have been there since Mirror Mirror, the TOS episode.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, that's good.
I liked that, and I thought that the, you know, the just the sense of moving it into a somewhat of an established area, even if it's something that I'm not particularly crazy about, is, I think, good for the overall direction of the show. Mm-hmm. Where I thought that before it was kind of wavering and not really sure where it wanted to end up. The Klingon War was very pointless. And this at least feels like there's something there driving around in the background. Like, I at least know how the war is going at this point. Like, and I mean, war by like the mirror universe war. Like, I'm pretty aware of how the universe and the mirror universe is working. So I'm happy sort of having that be underfoot and have a solid place to land on.
Yeah, I would agree with that. How did you feel about the Tilly as captain thing where she's answering the hailing?
It made me groan a little bit. And then Lorca doing a Scottish accent made me groan a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, those are
get
things
it because he was the engineer.
Yeah, he's the engineer. That's the kind of stuff. It's too audience fan winky service. Like, it's just kind of goofy. And the only thing it did for the Tilly thing made sense because there was the previous episode where after Stamets jumps, he comes out and sees her and says, "Captain, what are you doing here?" So it was
a
callback to that.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. Yeah, that's good.
So that's a sign of good. That's a sign of at least better writing at that point. And it kind of pulls things together. Although that at the time when that happened, we didn't notice it as being particularly weird. It was just kind of an implication that something was wrong.
Right. I thought it was okay. I chuckled at it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I thought in a vacuum, it was performed very well. I thought
her
was
line
good.
Reading is great. Yeah. Of the yeah, hold your horses or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, she's good, but it just feels, it feels out of place. Like, I feel like that sequence as it was played would fit right in on TNG.
Yes,
but this show is so serious that right. her whole character just feels so out of place.
Yes, I'd agree with that. Her characterization feels like she should fit in an older Star Trek series, and if this series was more like those older series, she would actually have a reason to be there. Kind of, and she doesn't really have that at this point. So making her captain makes sense. I thought the joke, I couldn't tell if the joke, her nickname is Captain Killy in the mirror. I don't know if that was too real or what, but that kind of feels like something that would actually work, but it felt like it was overwritten on some level. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's pretty much it. I think we're done talking about, what is this called? Despite Yourself. I keep wanting to call it Discover Yourself.
The one thing I actually did really another little detail is I really liked the transporter scene, how they did that like really smooth dissolve of the rooms instead of doing a hard cut, you know, like they didn't fade out the people in the transporter like they usually do. You just saw the light come down and then everything around them changed, but they did it really subtly. I thought that was cool.
It's a good change for that effect and everything. They spend a lot of time in the transporter room in this episode, actually, which gives you a lot of time to look at it.
Did they do that same thing in Mirror Mirror, the original episode?
In Mirror Mirror, when they beam, they just beam onto the changed Enterprise during the storm.
But they don't. Do they do it the same way where they do? They don't.
No, I don't think so. I think it's done the traditional. You see them beam out, and then they cut to the transporter room, and they beam into there, and it's different.
Because as I was thinking about it, it felt really familiar, but I can't. So I thought maybe they had done it previously in Mirror Mirror, but I guess not.
So we'll go out with a mild prediction here. How do you think Culber comes back?
Mirror Mirror, the Mirror Universe, Culber, I assume.
Yeah, do they bring back the Mirror Universe Culber and he just replaces the other one?
I don't see why not. I mean, unless they get one of those machines where they just can throw a dead body into it and then he's fine. Have they already established they can do that? They may have already established they can do that.
They might have. It reminds me to bring that up. How it's very easy in Discovery to kill people. You can just kill the doctor in sick bay, and like no one's standing around. There's no nurses or anything to be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that. That was kind of an odd choice. I'd imagine they'll bring back Culber.
Yeah. However, now that I'm, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how they want to handle their cast and whether or not people are coming back or what the. Because, I mean, if they're playing by Game of Thrones rules where anybody could die or whatever at any time, I could foresee them bringing back Culber, but Stamets staying in the Mirror Universe.
Okay.
Probably not, because then they would have none of their highly touted gay characters on the ship.
Right.
But if they don't do that, then I assume, yeah. If he comes back, because they didn't, because the actor said he was coming back, but he didn't say he was staying on the show.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would assume at the very least he's going to come back and they're going to have some sort of whatever. And then, you know, that's it. But yes, they could just bring him back, which is like, what's the fucking point then?
It's right.
Like,
it's a
very Tom Riker situation.
I'm really looking forward to the very hard trying to be emotional love scene between Mirror Culber and Stamets when I know nothing about these characters. I don't think we even know what their relationship is. I don't think we know if they're married or if they're dating or if they're just having sex with each other. Lorca seems to know, or at least he knows that they're at least having sex with each other based on that conversation he has with Culber. But I don't think they've said what their relationship status is. Like, we don't know anything about these two.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember. Yeah. Also, I like that Lorca goes out of his way to tell Culber that he has a conflict of interest working with Stamets.
Yeah.
On Stamets's case or whatever. But when it comes to bringing somebody along to go on the other ship, he's like, "Hey, Tyler, you come with us." There's no conflict of interest there at all, because he knows they're together, right?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
You're gonna be prejudiced. Her bodyguard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
How does nobody except Burnham know that Tyler's got a fucking screw loose?
I know.
Like, all he does is stand around and sweat.
Yeah, he does. And I mean, I don't know. It ties into that sort of the weakness that's been there for that character. It's like, how dumb is this crew? How bad is Culber as a doctor, really, at this point? Like, he didn't catch all this stuff immediately. He's let it sort of fester there for a while. Not very good.
He couldn't tell on the first scan that they had shrunken his spinal column and right. Reformed his fibula or whatever the hell they did.
I was expecting a the really Trekkie thing to do there would have been like, it looks like you had double organs removed, because the Klingons in canon have like two hearts and stuff like that. So
I will be okay with this choice if at the end of the season Tyler transforms back into Vok. Is that his name? I can't remember.
Yeah, Vok, I think. Yeah.
If he transforms back into Vok in some sort of like fucked up David Cronenberg like body horror shit, where he like snaps
American Werewolf, then,
like, yeah, like the thing where like his chest opens up and you see Vok's face inside, and then like like one of the. I'll be fine with it then, but until then, I think it's overkill.
Yep, I'd agree. So, I think we're done talking about Despite Yourself, which I sound overly critical, but I did kind of enjoy it as I was watching it. It's just it's fitting into the same old problems that they've had before. It was probably my second favorite episode of the show, actually, in a lot of ways. Just for the sort of franticness of it, which is actually a downfall of it too at the same time. But it held my attention, and maybe we had said in the first half of the series, not a lot of the episodes left you wondering what's going to happen next, and I'm kind of wondering what's happened next with this one.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I didn't hate it. I would probably agree and say it's one of the better episodes overall. It kept me engaged for the most part. I still think it's, one of our chief criticisms of the first half was that they were doing things so fast, and yeah. Even though it was annoying me that they were doing nothing for half the episode, they weren't rushing it, really. They were giving time to, you got stuff with Tyler, you got stuff with Culber, you got stuff with Stamets, on top of them trying to figure out what's happening in the mirror unit. So, like, it didn't feel super rushed. Once things got going, I don't know. Well, yeah, because I guess they didn't find anything at the end of the... Yeah, so it seemed like the pace was a little bit dialed back than usual.
You call, Doc? You find anything?
Yeah, have you ever received any neurological therapies or marrow diminution procedures before?
No, not that I know of.
Because there are masses of scar tissue surrounding all of your organs.
Right, from my torture.
Right, that's what the computer concluded when you first came aboard, but I've run more advanced tests, and if I'm reading these chondroblast cell scans correctly, what the Klingons did to you can only be described as bone crushing. They opened up your limbs, and they appear to have shortened your radius, your femurs, even your spinal cord.
What are you getting at?
Well, this is just a theory, Tyler, but
remember we confirmed that no personality engrams were hidden under your native identity?
Okay.
Well, there's some research that suggests that a new personality could be placed atop it, like an overlay with the original personality still intact underneath. It appears that the Klingons have transformed you, both mentally and physically.
Into what?
That's what we have to figure out.
Again, I still don't like that they spent half the episode just talking about stuff instead of actually doing stuff. But
yes, yeah. I think that's a huge script problem there. The lack of all the telling and no showing was really problematic here. And it ties into that the fans know it already, so why go through it, which is bad storytelling in a lot of ways, and it just makes everything seem weaker than it actually is.
And that sequence where they all get makeovers is just, I don't know, man.
I mean, it's just, it's a weird thing, right? Like, they don't know about the mirror universe, yet they almost perfectly can mimic the mirror universe just by reading about it on Wikipedia, apparently. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, I was going to make a joke about Star Wars cosplaying being really strict, but it's not there. I think I've brought up before my favorite scene in X-Men Apocalypse, where Apocalypse gathers his four horsemen together, and they're hanging out in a factory building listening to Metallica while he gives them all evil makeovers.
Yes, yep.
That's what this felt like. It felt like first of all, I don't know where you said that they've established they can make clothes out of the replicator, but still, it was seemed really silly to me that they just had all this shit there ready to put on. And it just, it seemed, that kind of thing always seems like you do that right before you need to use that shit in, a really crucial part of the thing. And I guess they kind of did, but it's, it's like in the Three Amigos. It seemed like the end of the Three Amigos, where everybody, the entire town sews Amigos uniforms so they can stand up to El Guapo. Right. But in this case, it was just like, no, we just need to pass this for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have a scene where they ran into a Mirror Universe ship and could see what was going on. You know what I mean? They didn't give you that, this is the behavior we're going to model ourselves on scene. They printed up all their new clothes and then painted the ISS instead of the USS on the Discovery and called it a day.
Also, I believe Kyle mentioned this, and I will say yes, I am annoyed that the ships were so close together. There's no reason for those ships to be so close together. When they were on the video screen, I was like, okay, that's fine. Maybe this is what he's talking about. The video screen can look, really far into space or whatever. But then they cut to the exterior scene, and they were basically holding hands.
Yep.
And yep. I feel like if you're jumping into light speed, you should probably have more than enough room for the Lord there before you jump into hyperspace.
I'd agree. Yeah, it's it stood out to me that that's a scene that is fairly rare to have two starships in this series next to each other, which is. Except for the battle scene, but we don't get a lot of the ships sort of coming into contact with each other. And just the last point would just be, I don't know if this is budgeting decisions or something. We don't see whatever ship is that comes in to rescue them from the Vulcan ship. You don't see them shoot at the Vulcan ship.
Oh, the Cooper?
Yeah, you don't get a visual of that ship firing on the Vulcans, chasing them away or anything. Just assume, yeah.
Also, the voiceover from that ship seemed like it was done by a commercial voiceover guy or a video game cutscene where he's like, "Better luck next time. Try and shoot for them when they come across, and you see the blinking light on the back of the ship, Discovery."
Yeah, he was a little bit over the top and not quite appropriate for the series.
They were flying in with Falco and from. Shit, Star Fox.
Do a barrel roll. Anyway, guys, I think that's it. Thank you very much for listening. We're back with more Discovery coverage. DS9 will be kicked back to Thursdays at this point. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us all the Facebook and Twitters and all that stuff. All the social media links will be in the description below. You can go to patreon.com/thepenskyfile if you want to support the show. The high-tier patrons over there always get a shout-out at the end. It's Stephen Cobb, Holly McLaughlin, Jay Stanley, Mike Burnett, Matthew Ross, Magpie Nest Productions, Ben Douglas, Tax Owlbear, Kyle Barrett, Joint Mango, Vincent Adulman, Tarek Latif, and Rune Vendler. Thank you very much for supporting the show, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with more Discovery stuff. We've only got a couple episodes left, so we'll see how the Mirror Universe resolves itself.
And I hope Stamets gets superpowers when he wakes up. He's like that dude from the original series, that one character. It's like in the first episode or whatever.
Yep.
I can't remember his name, but he can like move stuff with his mind and his eyes glaze over or whatever.
Right.
He should have that guy's powers.
Well, I mean, we know from him that they're going to the Emperor's palace, right? That has to be what he's talking about there. Get out of the palace or whatever he keeps saying. So I assume that the season will likely end in the Emperor's palace, which feels very un-Star Trek-y, but it is the way that it is, I guess, the Emperor's throne room. Yeah. That's about it. Anything else, Clay? Do we have anything else we need to say?
I got a comic book coming out at the end of the month. Yeah, at the end of the month, keep your eyes open for the collected edition of the book Redline that I did for Oni Press.
Mm-hmm.
It should be at any comic book store near you.
Yeah, check it out, Redline. Check it out, Redline. Pick it up wherever comic books are sold. And I think that's pretty much it. Otherwise, yeah, we'll be continuing on with DS9 and Discovery. Let us know what you thought about this episode. I'll be interested to see how the listener community was split by this one, because Twitter seemed a little bit divided. But anyway, Clay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we will be back in a couple days with a DS9 episode, and then we'll be back next week with another Discovery. See ya.